But when they see it in real life, they see the depth, they see the texture, the size, the scale, and they seem to then understand it only by getting up close. I mean, often if you stand far back, they still think it's a painting. I think then people can't believe what you can do just from jeans.
This is Something From Nothing, a podcast about the creative process and the individuals involved. I'm Justin Lewis. This week, the show goes international.
So I'm Ian Berry. I've come to Paducah from England. I'm based in London, but I'm originally from Yorkshire, so you'll have to apologise for my accent.
Ian was here to show his unique work for this year's Spring Quilt Show, but he isn't a quilter. He makes his art with blue jeans. Yes, blue jeans, like the ones you wear. And there'll be more on that later. Ian and I talked about how he started this style of art and the circumstances that led to him pursuing it full time, which includes a very important tweet. Ian also shares some insight into this particular trip to the States with some thoughts about his time in Paducah. And so you know, I assured him the accent would be fine and asked what he thought about the distinct Southerner way of speech.
I always like listening to y'all. No, it's always nice, and everyone's like really warm and friendly, so that's all I think of when I hear that accent.
Just before we officially started the interview, I followed him around with the mic for an artist-guided tour of the exhibit, which happened to be his largest he's ever had. During this time, he was asked a question by a viewer. He later told me he was kind of tired of answering.
How did you come up with this idea?
Ian gave her a gracious answer that was similar to the one he gave me when I inquired about where this idea originated.
You know, I was always interested in doing artwork. So at uni, I'd gone home to my family home, my old bedroom, and I found it all kind of like started to be cleared out because my mum knew that I was never moving back home. Mm-hmm. And there was a big pile of jeans there. And I saw the shades, the textures, and, you know, like obviously a palette of shades. And I'd just done a portrait of Tony Blair out of newspaper. And I thought, well, perhaps I can do that out of denim.
Turns out he was right. He could indeed do that out of denim. So he started by
making faces of famous people. Like, I've noticed like a lot of people who do art out of new materials often do famous faces. Mm-hmm. I kind of wish I didn't do that. But I actually did it for a reason, because those are the people who are famous are wearing denim, like James Dean, Marilyn Monroe. Mm-hmm. And they had these, you know, they wore, like James Dean on a Rebel Without a Cause, wore these jeans. You know, he's a rebel, and all the boys want to be like that. Right. Marilyn Monroe on the set of Misfits was shot wearing this denim jacket. Everybody wanted to recreate that, and that started this trend, and which got the ball rolling for this day. That's why we all wear jeans. And that kind of, you know, from a marketing background, I was like, wow, that's just amazing.
Ian was onto something unique. At this time, though, he was still working a day job.
I was working in London at an agency, working on some quite big brands, and, you know, I actually enjoyed it. But eventually I decided I wanted to go backpacking, and I ended up in Australia. I was working out there and really doing the denim work on the side, and like pushing it and to more of a, what you recognize as my work, so what you've seen today. And eventually I lost my job out there, which also meant I had 30 days to leave the country. I knew that day was like a big turning point. I actually knew.
He knew it was one of the most life-changing moments of his life.
When I lost the job, I was thinking, well, do I even want to do this kind of work anymore? And I could see the interest in my denim pieces. So I thought, well, I'm going to go and spend a year. I've saved up a bit of money, spend a year making these, making a collection and pushing it and seeing where it goes. Eventually, I put a website up, a new website. I asked a few friends, oh, could you have a look at this and tell me what you think? But please don't show anybody.
But one of his friends decided to do quite the opposite.
One of them put it on Twitter. And he was friends with somebody who wrote a big blog, and it went on there. And the next week it was another blog, and then another blog. And you know, within a week, some of the big magazines was asking.
Now Ian had a standard to meet. There were expectations, and he had no intentions of letting people down.
You know, I don't want to be standing there kind of half thinking, oh, I'm not proud of this, I'm not happy about this. Because I mean, I'm a different person. When I stand in front of my work, I'm a different person to how I am away from the work. Mm-hmm. And if somebody's seen the work, I know that they've actually understand it. Because as I said, like, nobody gets it if it's printed or right. on an iPhone.
Right. So are you glad that your friend tweeted it?
I've got to look back and see that, because you know, I'm still one of those people, I'm not ready yet to do this, and it helped me push through and grasp the opportunities. I didn't sleep very often.
To keep him motivated, one thing he did was to put up
a sign in the studio just saying one chance. So it's got sounds good, like big solo shows, and I knew the press would be coming, and I didn't want to be standing there, you know, like having not taken a chance, because you know, the one is, you know, you want to have a good show, so the gallery want you back. Mm. Also, if the press are coming, you want to make sure that they're writing good things. Well, you can't make sure they're writing good things, but you can make sure you put every bit of effort into to making the work. And you know, I was appreciative of getting these chances, and just wanting to show the best of me.
On the topic of one chance, there was one lost in my interview with this international artist. Ian and I had to move rooms 3 times to find a quiet spot that was uninterrupted. It was to the point that Ian joked, since we were meeting at the mainly female-populated quilt show,
we should go to the male toilets, because there's nobody ever goes in there, and nobody bothers that place.
So the piece of the interview I wanted to get that allowed Ian to talk step by step about his art was lost in the shuffle. When I noticed this, I sent an email to Ian, and he gave me a rundown, and here it goes. The first thing he does is he comes up with a concept. It's the idea he wants to portray. Examples of this from his exhibit include a record store, laundromat, and an alley that has a community garden. The natural formation of community is a recurring theme in his art. So after the idea, he takes a photograph to work from. He at first thought of hiring someone, but decided he was able to do the work himself. Plus, he kind of likes playing with the light to create a shiny look. He really puts effort into setting the scene. One example of this is a piece he had on display that showed a woman sitting at the top of a flight of stairs. Her expression, it's open enough that nearly everyone who looks at the artwork is able to relate with her. One comment he made to me about this painting was that it took longer to lay the tile on the art piece than it would to actually tile a floor. Okay, so back to the creative process. After he gets the photograph, he sits on a pile of jeans, and in this pile he chooses 7 shades of denim to start with to recreate the photograph. He'll add more later if necessary for details such as fades or whiskers. And then Ian's last step is to cut up blue jeans into pieces that he uses to stick together. And to stick them together, he uses this, what's called a special glue from Sweden. Although, he noted, it really isn't that special. I was able to capture what Ian found to be the challenging aspects of his work.
The hardest part is often finding the right shade of denim. So I mean, I can spend, you know, half a day trying to find this right piece, because each piece is really considered. It's just not like one block of denim. It's like, you know, it's like a wash or a fade of denim. So it's like a gradient, which blends into the next. I mean, if doing a portrait, I found cheeks were very, very hard, because it's quite a large area, and it's just like how do you break it up. I mean, it's very hard, because I mean, I work sitting on the floor often, like a child, cross-legged often, and leaning over, and you might not get up for several hours actually, and so that I've got to find a new way of working. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it has its difficulties, but you know, I'm self-teaching this, how to actually paint with denim, so I never should have expected it to be easy.
Before we finished the interview, I was curious about his experience in Paducah.
We actually arrived on a Sunday evening, and it was snowing and sleeting, and there was nobody on the streets. And I was like to my friend, where did we come to? And then the next day, the sun came out, and we started meeting people. And, you know, I think I said earlier that my work's all about community, and here the community has been amazing. And maybe I found an extreme version because of the week and how much it's so compact in time. But everybody's gathered around me and made me feel really, really welcome. And so both Paducah, I mean, I was at the art school, you know, absolutely beautiful converted building, and the teachers are really, really good, warm people, and great artists as well.
His trip included more than just Paducah.
I actually drove here from New York because I wanted to see quite a few places, especially Greensboro, where the last Denham mill closed down.
In the United Kingdom, he has received news America is basically wastelands inland, but thankfully he had a different experience.
And I was like really pleasantly surprised to find so many beautiful converted buildings. For example, in Greensboro, they'd spent about $200 million converting what's known as Revolution Mill, and it was just absolutely stunning, and just the life and the creativity there was really special. And it's often the artists that move in and help create these places. And one of the reasons I was actually looking at these places because me and my friend want to try and help my hometown to get more artists and creativity there and develop towns, because it's another town which is like industrial decline.
Without doubt, Ian was able to get some ideas from Paducah. He mentioned both our art school and the coke plant as places for inspiration. I had to wrap up our time so he could get back to his exhibit. But one last bit adieu from the artisan from across the pond.
Thank you, Justin, for having me on and letting me share my work and my story with the people of Paducah and here on the airwaves.
This is Something From Nothing, a podcast about their creative process and the individuals involved. Oh, and one other thing I learned during my interview with Ian, it's how quilters feel about podcasts.
I love podcasts.
I love podcasts too. You can see more of Ian's work on his website, ianberry.com. Pictures really don't do it justice, but have a look anyway. He is also on Instagram at ianberry.art. And while you're over there on Insta, check out at Something From Nothing Podcast to see more from all the guests. I'm Justin Lewis. Thanks for listening.